somehow that is wisdom. Thought is suspect, and money is their idol. And nothing is okay unless it's scripted in their Bible. But I know there's so much more to find just in looking through myself and not at them. Still I know to trust my own true mind and to say there's a way through this.
Hello and welcome to Broadway Radio's This Week on Broadway, a special edition. We are pleased to speak with Jonathan Groff, who you might know from Spring Awakening, or you might know from that little show called Glee. But Lucky and the Mick from The Craptacular and Michael Portantier, writer for Broadway Stars and NPR, we've all gotten together to talk with Jonathan on the phone. And here is what happened.
Well, our special guest today is Jonathan Groff, Broadway and TV star and film star. He's here briefly in New York, having moved to LA. And Jonathan, aside from everything else, you've been seeing some shows, huh?
Yeah, I saw Tuesday night. I saw Catch Me If You Can. Wednesday night, I saw Anything Goes. Tonight, I'm seeing Sister Act. Tomorrow, I'm seeing The Normal Heart. It's a full week. I'm getting it all in.
A lot of your buds and colleagues are on stage right now. Have you had a chance to see John Gallagher in Jerusalem?
I haven't. I'm hoping that I can see that this weekend. I tried to get tickets to it. I went to the box office on Tuesday night, and they were like so sold out, I had to sit in the nosebleed. So
wait, you went to the box office?
Yeah, I know. That's what I do. I usually just go to the box office and risk my luck. Usually, it works out, and I get a good seat.
You're cuter than a button.
How about Priscilla, Jonathan, with Will Swenson?
I know. I've got to see that as well. I saw Priscilla when it was in London, but I haven't seen it here yet. I'm excited to see that too. Tonight, I'm so excited to see Patina and Sister Act. We spent so much time together in London when I was doing Death Trap, and I saw the show a bunch of times over there, and I think she's just amazing, and I'm so pumped to see her in her show tonight.
She's terrific, Anna. You're going to love it.
I know. I can't wait.
And let's see here. Well, we're in the midst of Tony Award, you know, Tony Awards and Drama Desk Awards season now. What are some of your memories of that whole experience when you were up for Spring Awakening?
I mean, it was like sort of beyond a dream come true, the being at the Tony Awards and going through that whole ride with Spring Awakening. When I was in high school, I literally would videotape the Tony Awards off TV, like onto a VHS. I remember the year that Sutton sang Forget About the Boy, the year that Millie won the Tony and she won the Tony. I had taped them. I think I was in the 11th grade, and I taped the number off the TV and brought it into my high school the next day, into my math class, my English class, and showed it to the classes. I was like, isn't this amazing? Like, this is this show on Broadway, and it's so great. And the teachers and the students, like, let me, you know, they indulged me. It was really sweet of them. But, like, the Tonys, I mean, it's sort of like how, coming from Lancaster, I knew about New York theater and knew what to see and knew what CDs to buy, and it was huge for me to go on that journey.
And last year you were sort of a special guest in the audience you got to have Lea Michele sing Don't Rain on My Parade to you.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. That's true. That was so much fun to be there last year. I forgot that was last year already. That was so much fun being there for that. I can't believe she sang that number on the freaking Tony Awards. Like, that was to sing, like, for any person to sing anything on the Tonys while, you know, the entire theater community and the nation is watching, that was such an intense moment for her, and I was happy to be there to cheer her on.
Well, I guess we'll know pretty soon if she's going to do this revival, maybe.
Of Funny Girl?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if, I mean, I think that they're next year, and she's giving you the third season of Glee next year, so I don't know how that it would fit into her schedule, but, I mean, she'd be amazing.
Jonathan, it's James Marino. I wanted to ask you a question about that period of time in between the Tony Award nominations and the actual Tony Awards itself, that crazy 4 or 5 weeks in the middle there when you have to do a million press things and you're doing stuff for the show as well as doing stuff for yourself and for friends and showing up, and then you have the Outer Critics Circle and you have Drama Desk and you have all the Theater World Awards and the Tony Awards. I mean, what did you sleep at all in that time period in between?
I mean, it was pretty crazy, but it was also one of the most joyous times ever, you know, working on a play. Because, yeah, certainly it's exhausting and it's a lot of work and you don't get much sleep, but also, like, we were so excited to be there with Spring Awakening. It was one of those shows where we never thought in a million years we would end up where we ended up. And we were all, you know, under the age of 24 and surrounded by all of these Broadway legends. You know, Angela Lansbury was there that year, and like, I mean, just like all of these really, really incredible people. And so I remember it being, more than I remember it being exhausting, I remember it being really like dream come true moment after dream come true moment. And the advice actually that our press people gave us, they were so good to us on that show. They said, you know, this is going to be a really crazy time and you're going to forget a lot of it because it's going to be such a whirlwind. But if you just take one moment at every press event and take a deep breath and look around and really say to yourself, wow, like, look at where you are. Then, you know, it's a good thing to do throughout this time because it's so easy to let it fly by and look back and be like, whoa, what happened? So I really think that all of us in the company really, like, took it in and embraced it and soaked up every single moment of it. It was really a wonderful time.
Well, that sounds like great advice.
Yeah, it was really good advice. It was such good advice for us, too, because we were also, like, hyper and overexcited. So for us to, like, take a deep breath and look around was, I think, a really good thing for us.
Hey, Michael, did you hear right when Jonathan said that everybody was under the age of 24, most of our listeners just said, fuck you? I don't know if you heard that, but I heard it in my headset. You know?
So, that's hilarious.
Jonathan, that's great. My God, I'm so excited for you. Lucky Mick, do you have anything you want to ask?
Yeah, we're wondering, Jonathan, hi. We were wondering if you have any plans to come back to Broadway anytime soon. We, of course, love to see you here on stage in New York.
I would love to. I'm like jumping at the bit waiting to come back. I love seeing theater. I love the New York theater community. I love, you know, I was just in London doing a play for 6 months. So that was fun and great, and I had a wonderful experience. But I really would love to come back and do a play, you know, ASAP. I love that. Just being in New York this week. I mean, I moved to LA 3 months ago, and I'm really enjoying it there. But being back in New York this week, it sort of like awakens that feeling in me again of like, oh, I'm seeing all these plays that I'm seeing. It gets me all excited over and over again.
Do you have ideas about, would you like to do a play or a musical in New York? I saw you actually in Death Trap in London, which was a play and was completely amazing. And there were so many incredible surprises in that show. But I was just wondering if you have any preference plays, musicals, either or.
I mean, really, it would just be like, I just want to do, my prerequisite is great people and a great director and a great company, you know, that's it. So if that means it's a play or a musical or a comedy or a drama, like I'm 26. And so I still feel like I've got a lot to learn and I've got a lot to do. And so I'm pretty much open to doing whatever.
Cool.
Just want to
butt in. This is the Mick. Do you have any dream roles that you would love to play?
I mean, Hamlet. I saw Hamlet at the National when I was in London, and I was like, oh, it was the first time I'd ever seen that show live. I'd seen like the movies, but I'd never seen it in high school, but I'd never seen it live in person. And I was like, ugh. I mean, that role is like phenomenal.
I love it that you call Hamlet a show.
totally.
Jonathan, did you troll around London looking for Nick Heitner and, you know, just randomly saying, hey, you know, that Hamlet thing's pretty good.
Hey, well, I just figured it was pointless because they were already doing it, so I'd have to wait another, like, decade. You know, I was doing the show with Simon Russell Beale, who was their last Hamlet before the current one, and that was, like, a decade ago. I wish I would have seen that. I'm sure he was probably amazing.
Well, you could always kill the Hamlet.
That's true.
It's not Macbeth, it's Hamlet. It's not Macbeth.
Yeah, you said the word. Oh, my goodness.
No, it's all right. We're not,
okay, we're not in the theater. It's okay.
Absolutely. I interrupted Lucky and the Mick. Did you girls have anything else you wanted to say?
We thought it would be a good time to bring up Glee, this little TV show that you're working on right now. The last episode, this was, I think, probably my favorite that I've ever seen you in over the last two seasons. And you had said some heinously awful things.
Jesse St. James did.
Sorry,
Jonathan Groff didn't.
Jesse St. James said some heinously awful things. What was it like filming that episode?
It was so, first of all, when I read the script, I was so surprised at how mean he was. Like, I thought I was coming back to redeem myself and to, like, help them win nationals. Like, that's how, you know, I thought, that's what I thought was going to happen. He was just as mean as could be. And it was so much fun because I'm not a quick-witted, like, response person that can, like, come up with fast, mean things to say. Like, that's just not how I am. It's not how my brain works. And so Ryan and Ian and Brad, who are the creators and writers of Glee, do such an amazing job of, like, writing those crazy lines and, like, crazy insults that it was so much fun to be able to, like, say their words, you know, because I could never think of that stuff in real life.
It's so hilarious because anyone who's met Jonathan for even, like, 30 seconds knows he's the antithesis of that character.
So you think. So I've led you to believe, Michael.
Oh, this is quite the scoop we're getting here. Excellent.
where are you kind of in the shooting process for Glee? Are you, do you have to go back and do some more through the end of the season? Or how much longer are you
going to... We just wrapped on Wednesday. The whole show wrapped. So they closed down, finished on Wednesday, and now the cast is off on the tour. I mean, they literally have no break. It's so crazy. They got 4 days off after we finished wrapping, and then they started rehearsing for the tour, which they do until July, and then they start shooting again in August. Crazy.
Are you, Jonathan,
a special guest star on the tour?
I don't know. I don't think so. No, nothing's been said to me yet. But you never know with them. Like, they can call you last minute and ask you to come on and sing a little something. But as of now, no.
That video of you, those videos of you in the last years are incredible, that you just walk out and everybody goes nuts when you start singing with Leah.
And no, it was crazy. It was insane. It was so much fun for the two of us because obviously we have such a history on stage and we have so much fun together. So it was a really fun moment with her.
Is your character in the last episode when they all come to New York and go see Wicked?
Yeah, I'm in that episode. I'm not like in any, I didn't come to New York because I'm not in the exterior shots, but I am in that episode.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan, if
that's
you'd like,
next week.
I can call the producers of the live show and suggest that you open up with Hamlet before the Glee
amazing
thing. You could warm up with that, you know?
Perfect. That sounds great.
What's it like having such a different audience for Glee than you had for your Broadway shows, or is it a different audience, I should say?
I think it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of young girls, which is great. I mean, they're so, like last time I went to go see Anything Goes, and there was probably like, maybe like a dozen gals that came up to me throughout the course of the show. They're so sweet. I have to say, I really enjoy them because, it's such a thing, you know, for like teenage girls to get like excited and scream and like jump up and down. And it's exactly, it's just really, really sweet. And it's really moving. And I love them. They're so sweet and harmless. You know, it's like harmless, fun, you know, people. It's really nice.
Come back in a few years. We'll talk about the harmless part.
Okay.
It would be less harmless if I were to do that. I promise you.
I was just reading an interview with Chris Colfer in New York Magazine, Jonathan, where he says that he it's really tough. He said for him particularly to go out in public because he's so recognizable, and for some reason, I guess just partly because of the way his character is written, that there tend to be like stampedes and things of that effect.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy for him, and really for like him and Leah and Matt and Amber and Corey, you know, the core group on the show, you know, because people watch, for me, it's not bad at all, really, you know, because I sort of pop in and pop out and people, you know, don't really remember me when they see me on the street too much, but unless I'm at a Broadway show and there's, you know, both worlds. But like, I think for Chris and all of them, it's, you know, people are, they're in people's living rooms every week, you know, for an entire year. So they see their faces all the time and they recognize them. And it's like their life is different, you know? And for Leah, like I've been with Leah and like the paparazzi are following her and outside of her house. It's like crazy.
Jonathan, tell me the comparison New York versus LA. Do you, is the paparazzi and that type of thing worse in LA than New York, or is it about the same? Or, you know, what's your experience between the two towns?
I don't have much of an experience because the paparazzi doesn't really follow me around. But from like being with Leah and from the things that I've like seen of other people, it seems to me that the paparazzi is much more intense. Aware in LA than they are in New York. You know, LA just feels more like an industry town than New York does, I think. And so it's more entertainment focused out there, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. There's a lot more different industries that are prevalent, whether it be, you know, Wall Street and publishing, consulting,
yeah.
Media, things like that.
Yeah, totally.
Versus everything in LA. Everybody's got a movie pitch and a television pitch, and everybody's doing this, and everybody's got a project. And
absolutely.
It's all about that.
I noticed, Jonathan, there is an IMDb listing for a film of Spring Awakening. Have you heard anything about the progress of that?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I think I'm like way beyond too old to ever do that movie. So I haven't heard anything about it. I think they were supposed to shoot in Prague at some point over this summer, but maybe got pushed back. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know anything about it. I can't wait to see it, though. I think it could be an amazing movie.
It really could. What do you think,
right?
Of the way they could do the transitions from the modern to the,
Yeah. And it's sort of like Chicago in that, like, people don't sing to each other, you know, really. It's all in your mind.
Right.
The songs, you know, so it could sort of solve that problem that some people have of breaking into song. You know, I think it could be a really amazing movie.
So Lucky and the Mick brought up what type of roles are you interested in? Who else in the industry do you want to work with, whether it be another actor, director, DP, things like that? Who in the industry are you looking forward to working to in your large career in front of you?
I mean, Seth Foster I've idolized since I'm in high school, so to ever get to do a show with her someday would be a complete dream come true. I think that she is so amazing.
Did you almost jump up on stage at Anything Goes and try to tap with her?
I mean, I was numb after the end of Act One. I was so blown away by that number. I was in heaven. I was loving it. I mean, I think she's such an amazing performer, and she's, you know, like the old school Broadway talent. You know, I'd love to work with her someday. That would be like one of my ultimate like high school kid dreams come true. I loved working with like these directors that I've already worked with. I'd love to work with again, like Michael Mayer and Bart Scheer. I'd love to do something, a movie or a play with Sam Mendes. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. It's like there's so many great, talented people. Sam Gold is a great, you know, downtown theater director who I did a little something with. I'd love to work with him again. I mean, there's so many wonderful people out there to collaborate with. I'm just open for anything.
Great.
What was it like to work with Robert Redford in The Conspirator?
He was cool. He was so laid back. He was so chill. I loved working with him. He was really, really nice.
I haven't seen that film yet, but I'm hearing excellent things, and about your scene in particular.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Yeah,
yeah.
It was really fun.
Apparently
James McAvoy also was like, he's one of my favorite young actors working today. He was couldn't have been nicer or more generous on the set. He was so giving.
I think I would have passed out with Robert Redford and James McAvoy in the same room.
And yeah, it was an amazing cast in that movie.
It was so intense. It was so intense.
So many attractive people in one place. It's not even fair.
I know.
Oh my goodness, there's Patrick Dempsey.
Right.
Oh my goodness, there's Hugh Jackman.
Right.
Totally. Any plans for Jesse St. James to come back next season on Glee? Are we thinking that far ahead?
I think I'm not thinking that far ahead. I think that they left it open, and so we'll see. But who knows? I mean, they've got this big break now, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, so like nothing happens to, like, tragic happens to Jesse at the end of this.
No,
season.
He doesn't die. He doesn't
die, right?
There was a rumor going because there it had been leaked that someone was going to die, and I believe it turned out to be Jane Lynch's character's sister. But people were thinking it was going to be Jesse.
Wow, that would have been crazy. It would have certainly been a dream. He would have definitely died in, like, a dying swan. It would have been like the end of Black Swan if Jesse St. James was going to die on the show. It'd have to be like super dramatic.
He could, like, die singing like Fontaine or Valjean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. It'd have to be super intense. There'd have to be a ballet. Like, it would be really intense.
Be little Garrosh climbing the barricade.
Oh. Yes, totally. Totally.
Well, welcome back, Jonathan. It's great to have you here for at least a week or so.
Oh, I heard a rumor. Can you put this rumor to rest or confirm or deny it that you have a role up in the upcoming Broadway Bears?
Oh my God, I wish I did, but no, that's not true.
Okay. Well,
I've always
wanted
to do Broadway Bears, though. Please put me on that list.
Well, we can call Jerry and see if, certainly.
Let's make that happen. I would love that. I would love that.
I suspect he'd be pleased, thrilled to have you.
Absolutely. We'll see if we can get you. I think it's the second week in June or something. So if your schedule allows, we'll see if we hook you up with the Broadway Cares folks who produced that great show.
All
Broadway
right.
Bears.
Well, keep me posted.
That's great. James is pimping for Jonathan. It's terrific.
I love it.
That's what I do. And Michael, you're going in next week as well.
F at all.
All righty. Mike, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, well, again, thanks. It's great. I hope you enjoy the rest of your theater going while you're here before you head back to L.A. And thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you guys. I'm going to run off and go see Sister Act.
Oh, have a great night.
All right, I will. Thanks. Pleasure
Take
talking
care.
To you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
No more moves. Oh, yeah. The dead end zone. Man, you just can't call your soul your own. But the thing that makes you really jump is that the weirdest shit is still to come. You can ask yourself, hey, what have I done? You're just a fly. The little guys, they kill for fun. Man, you're fucked if you just freeze up. Can't do that thing that keeping still. But you're fucked if you speak your mind. And you know, you will. Yeah, you're fucked, alright. And all for spite, you can kiss your sorry ass goodbye. Totally fucked, will they mess you up? Well, you know.
Blah, 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 blah.